Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. Always good to be here on Sunday night.
Good to be back with you.
Great, thank you. Good to be with you. Good to study God's Word. And after having an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, I say that at the end.
Yeah.
But I had an awesome Lord's Day anyway.
Well, it's sundown, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not quite, but it's close.
Yeah. Now, see, if we were on the Hebrew calendar, it'd almost be time to start Monday.
Exactly.
At sundown. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about tonight.
Don't confuse anybody.
That's right. Well, if you've been listening the last few weeks, other than our special show with Eric Carpenter about charismatic renewal, Stephen and I have been doing a series on the cross as the center of salvation, the instrument of salvation, the I don't even know how many more words you can use. It's just the center of salvation history.
Right.
And how, as Christians, regardless of what your denomination is, you have to look to the cross as of central importance to everything that goes on.
Right.
And we've been going through some scriptures, and we've been going through some, making some comments and some commentary about these things, because we really feel it's important for people to get refocused on this, especially in the culture that we live in now, where the idea of Jesus being crucified as being the only means of salvation is kind of a silly thing.
Right, and it's really being diminished.
Yeah.
You know, Paul says, I want to boast on the cross of Christ so it doesn't lose its power.
Exactly.
I don't come here with eloquent words.
Yeah.
Or my own teaching,
yes.
My own theology. Yeah. And I think in our culture today, you know, we want to have a sanitized version of even Christianity.
Yes. We sanitize everything.
And even those who don't believe, well, you know, God loves everybody, doesn't he?
Everyone's on the road to salvation.
Everybody's on the road to salvation. And Jesus himself says, the road that is wide leads to destruction.
Yes.
The narrow road,
there's
few on it.
And there's few on it.
It leads to salvation.
Yeah.
And it's not about earning your salvation. It's not about doing, you know, works come out of becoming a disciple of the Lord.
Yes.
They come out of love.
Yes.
And not the other way around. And, you know, the power is in the cross because on the cross, Jesus laid down his life for us out of love.
Right.
He said, you know, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. I have the power to put it down. And I have the power to take it up again. And in that, we see the immensity of God's love for us, that he would lay down his life even while we were transgressors against him.
Yes. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, as Paul wrote in Romans.
Right.
Even while we were enemies is what essentially he's saying.
I'm out there committing a sin against God, and he's ransoming my soul.
Exactly.
That's love.
Yes.
You know, we don't see that in our culture. It's very hard for anybody to do that, because when somebody offends somebody, if you offended me, you know, my natural instinct is to be mad at you. Why would you do that? But as a transformed disciple of the Lord, I have to forgive you. Even though I might not feel like it.
I'm glad.
And thus you should be. No. But I have to forgive you because, you know, forgiveness, a lot of times people think forgiveness is a feeling, and it's really not. It's a decision. Yes. And if you decide to forgive, that grace of God will start to work in your heart, where he can really remove anything that is there if you were hurt by somebody.
Yes.
You know? But in the context of Jesus laying his life down for us while we were still sinners and at odds with God, there's no greater love than that.
Yeah. And you hit such an important point there when you mentioned free gift. You know, it's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And the reason we've been concentrating on this is based on that, that this unbelievable act was done because it was the only way that we can be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. And through his love, this is what happens, and this is what he's ordained as the means of salvation.
Right.
The cross is the instrument of salvation, as we've been talking about. And it's totally different than the covenant of law.
Yes.
And we even pointed out, going back to the Garden of Eden, that when man fell, Adam and Eve then were powerless to do anything to save themselves.
Right.
And we've inherited their sin nature, even though that was a long time ago. We're still related to those two. And we have inherited that nature. And in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3:15, God makes a promise of a redeemer, makes a promise that someone is going to crush the serpent's head.
Right.
And we ended up the last show where Paul writes in Colossians about how Jesus had triumphed over Satan and made a public spectacle out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the last show we talked about a lot of things, and with the power of the cross,
mm-hmm.
and really what the power of the cross does and how it broke down that dividing wall, that enmity that was between the Jews and the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you pointed out last week, everybody in the Bible was referred to as either a Jew or a Gentile.
Yeah.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two, you know, you fall into those two classes, but mm-hmm. through the blood of Messiah, that division, that separation is gone.
Yes. And we're the one new man.
Because when Jesus died, he sends into heaven, or he rises from the dead first, sends to heaven, Holy Spirit comes and
mm-hmm.
just transforms the disciples in the upper room. And both Jew and Gentile now are receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Both Jew and Gentile are now proclaiming the great mighty works of God.
Yes.
Both Jew and Gentile are coming to the cross, and receiving salvation.
Yes. And this is one of the main reasons why we emphasize studying the Old Testament, studying the Old Covenant, studying the Tanakh, because the plan of salvation unfolds through the whole scripture. It doesn't start at Matthew 1:1.
Right.
And many people don't like to study the Old Testament, and we've talked about this many, many times, but it really gives you not only the background for what happens when Messiah Jesus comes, but also it shows you, because of that covenant of law, how much more the covenant of grace is a measure of love and mercy and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And the book of Hebrews, which everybody who knows me knows is one of my favorite books. Of course, they're all like pretty much all my favorite books.
I thought Acts was. Well, or Roman. Was it Romans?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
well, Hebrews.
Galatians is good. Oh, Galatians is awesome too. Well, anyway. But in the book, let's list all our favorite books. Let's see. But anyway, in the book of Hebrews, it's really great because it ties together the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and Jesus as the sacrifice and the eternal high priest.
Right.
And toward the end of last week's show, we had Hebrews 8:13, where the writer, we don't know who the writer was, but the writer was talking about, we're now in a new covenant, I'm paraphrasing, we're now in a new covenant because the first one is becoming obsolete and it's getting ready to vanish away. Because the old covenant is a covenant of law. Moses was the mediator. It was sealed in the blood of animals. And your righteousness was based on how well you did with the law. But now that covenant is fading away because now there's an unbelievable covenant that we're living in, which is based on grace. And Jesus is the mediator. And his blood, it seals the covenant. Not the blood of bulls and goats, as the writer to the Hebrews says.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a powerful thing that when you understand that there was a covenant of law, the Jews were the covenant people, they were God's chosen people, that he had a covenant bond with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles, like us, were out of covenant, out of agreement, weren't, you know, were outcast. Unclean, defiled. Right. And of course, at that time, the Gentiles were all pagans.
Right.
But now, as you stated so so powerfully, because of the cross and because of this covenant of grace, we now become one new man. Because the Gentiles are saved through the cross, and the Jews are saved through the cross, because the cross is the only way to be saved. And so now we have the kingdom of Messiah, which is Jew and Gentile.
Right. I'm going to read from Hebrews 8.
Yes.
Let's read about that. And this is beginning at verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, no place would have been sought for a second one. But he finds fault with them and says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will conclude a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they did not stand by my covenant, and I ignored them, says the Lord. But this is the this is the covenant I will establish with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, or in their minds, I'm sorry, and I will write them upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his fellow citizen and kinsman, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their evil doings and remember their sins no more."
Wow.
When he speaks of a new covenant, he declares the first one obsolete. And what has become obsolete, and has given old is close to disappearing.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And that was mentioned, of course, the reason those words sound familiar is you all know Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, where a new covenant is prophesied.
Right.
Now, you know, keeping in mind that the people, the Israelites, got the law at Mount Sinai, through Moses, they had the law. This was the covenant. This was the bond that they had with God. Nobody else on earth had it. And then through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant, which, you know, I don't know what people standing around Jeremiah thought. They usually got upset with Jeremiah and, you know, threw him in the cistern and wanted him to be quiet. But God told them through Jeremiah that a new covenant was coming and that everyone was going to be involved and that everyone was going to know the Lord. And it was going to be a personal, much more powerful covenant than the covenant of law.
Right. And you know, where it says, for I will forgive their evil doings and remember their sins no more.
Exactly.
They're blotted out in the blood of His Son.
Amen. We talked last week about how the condemnation that's due to us, the judgment that's due against us is nailed to the cross.
Right.
And that judgment, you know, we went through some of the legal terms, that judgment, we become justified and that judgment is vacated.
Right.
So now the charges aren't on us anymore.
Yeah. It's like you go into a court of law and the judge says, well, I'm going to throw these charges out against
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And you're exonerated and you go,
exactly.
I am.
And it's really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And this is why you can't, and I always, you know, if you know me, you know, I always say, if you don't think about this 20 times a day, you don't get it. Because not only do we not deserve it, because we don't deserve it.
Nope.
You know, we many times say, oh, you know, God's been so mean to me because I asked him for this and I didn't even get it. And, you know, and you always have to keep in mind that, you know, that's a really wrong kind of thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you bring up an interesting point because we can tend to sometimes blame God for things that, you know, might not be really have anything to do with like, oh, God's punishing me here. Certainly, if we make choices in our lives and we get into situations and we make a bad choice, we're gonna have to live through that bad choice.
Yeah.
You know, some decisions affect us for a short time. Some decisions affect us for a lifetime.
They have consequences.
Yeah. And, you know, and when I minister with the youth and the children, I try and get that into their head is that you have to make wise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Be prudent. Don't act irresponsibly because if you do, it only takes a second to mess up your life for the remainder of your life.
Yes.
You know, and in an earthly sense, but we can always seek God's forgiveness. If we transgress against him, and he will He will, you know, blot out our sins, as it says, and remember them no more. So as we're talking about this, you know, you know, you and I talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
A lot of different people.
All day long.
And, you know, sometimes we can get into a certain camp, if you will, a certain mode of thinking where we get so focused on one thing that we forget the whole of the message of salvation, and that is go out and preach forgiveness in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the gospel message. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. There's power in no other name except Yeshua.
Amen.
You can call on Phil or Steve. I mean, there's not much power in our name.
You'll be in big trouble.
You'll be in big trouble. You'll be waiting a long time. You call in the name of Jesus, he's there. Yeah. Because of the covenant relationship. A covenant relationship is an oath with your life.
It's not a contract.
It's not a contract where I says, okay, well, I'm going to do this and I'll pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's an oath with your life. And when I say, God, come to my assistance, he's there.
Yes.
You know, like with the prophets, Hineni, here I am, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say Hineni, God says back to me, here I am.
Yes, exactly.
And he's there to help.
Exactly.
And it is so, you know, that's the relationship that he has with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to recognize that we have that relationship.
Yes.
And it's all made possible through the blood of Messiah.
That's right.
By his shedding of blood on the cross.
This is the ultimate covenant.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, the main covenant in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is the Mosaic Law.
Right.
But there are others, you know.
Other covenants,
there's a covenant with Abraham. There's a covenant with Noah. There's a lot of little sub covenants.
Right.
But the covenant in the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is the new and eternal covenant, as he said at the Last Supper.
Right.
That we are living in. That we are living in this age of grace. That we're living in this time of grace. And he, as the sacrifice and the eternal high priest, is the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's not going to be another plan of salvation.
Right.
And there's not going to be a third testament. There's not going to be some other means of salvation that's going to come in a year or two.
Right.
This is the ultimate. And I think we're going to be coming up to a break. So before I start like the next thing or what you're going to read there,
we might as well wait till after
the break. So remember, you can check out giftofgraceministries.org. Or you can look for us on Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute.
Dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah. the demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Who sings that?
Woo. That is Sharon Wilbur, Paul's daughter-in-law.
And Paul sings.
And he sings a little bit of it, but there's a young man who does the other lead.
I forget his name.
I can't for the life of me remember his name. So
where do you get that CD at?
You'll have to forgive us.
What's the name of that CD?
Your Great Name. If you go to WilburMinistries.com and order Your Great Name, and order everything else too.
You'll hear that song.
Yes, it's the third song. Not that I ever listened to it, but it's the third song. Anyway, back to the lesson. We were talking about something else in the book of Hebrews during the break, so I have Steve talk about that a minute.
Well, you know, where Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, mm-hmm. I came to fulfill it. And it's fulfilled in love.
Right.
You know, Paul talks about this time and time again in his letters to the different communities. Mm-hmm. Love fulfills the law.
Right.
If you don't have love, you're a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would always struggle with that and go, well, what does he mean by that? You know, because if you love and you're a believer, mm-hmm. what does he mean by that? And he's really talking about the observance of the law, that if you're so caught up with observing the law, but you don't have any love in your heart to give mercy to someone, it's a bunch of, you know, you're a bunch of noise. You're a clanging cymbal. If you're going around condemning people saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you don't show them God's mercy and love and forgiveness, it's a bunch of noise.
Mm.
You know, yeah, there are times where we really have to say, hey, I think you're on the wrong, you know, I think you're going down the wrong path here.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if that person doesn't know God mm-hmm. and doesn't know about forgiveness in the name of Jesus and the love that was poured out for that person on the cross, to what benefit is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
They have to know that God loves them and loves them right where they're at. The same way that God loved me right where I was at in the depth of my sin
mm-hmm.
and anybody else.
And me.
And you?
I mean, me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when I was growing up, I was taught, you know, that God had a scorecard and that at the end of your life, he adds up the score. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you know, if your negatives are more than your positives,
oop,
you're in big trouble.
So, off by a fraction, Phil. Sorry.
Yeah, that's
down you go.
That's not the good news.
No, that's not the good news. And he says, I will write my law upon their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I will put my laws in their minds,
mm-hmm.
and I will write them upon their hearts.
Yes.
So God, you know, we don't have the freedom to just do whatever we want,
right.
and fall back into sin and become
Certainly.
A slave to sin, like
sure.
Paul says.
Paul talks about that in Romans 2.
You know, Paul says, I'm a slave for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's purchased my soul at the price of his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's something that we need to keep in mind as a community of
sure,
believers.
Of course.
Because if you're hearing a message of do whatever you want, hey, you're free in the spirit.
Yeah. In the end, it's all grace. That's more dangerous than legalism.
Yeah. You need to get back to the cross.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly right. And this whole thing about the law's written in your heart, not on stone, you know, it's another example of personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the law was on stone, it's presented to the people and it says, here's the law on the stone.
Right.
So here's what you've got to do, and you have to do it
mm-hmm.
just this way. But now it's written in your heart, so you have a personal connection to
right.
God, because now the covenant's written on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you look at the cross and you say, you know, I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this.
Right.
But I have it. So that's a whole different feeling you have in your heart compared to looking at a tablet of stone going, mm-hmm. okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this.
I mean, think of it. If you walked up to a complete stranger and you gave them a gift, an expensive gift,
mm-hmm.
what would they do? what's happening? You know,
yeah.
They would be baffled.
Exactly.
You know, someone might take it,
mm-hmm.
but
sure.
most people would probably just be baffled and go, what are you doing? Why would you give
me
that?
You want me to have this?
I don't even know you. And yet that's what God does with our salvation. This free gift is given to us,
mm-hmm.
even though we're far away
yes.
from him.
Yeah.
Even though we're not
exactly.
near to him, and he continually draws us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. This is why this is the center of the good news, and this is why if you don't think about this all the time, you don't get what the good news is.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, as you know, you alluded to before, he is the fulfillment of the law. And so, because we have him as substance of everything that the Old Testament pointed to, and he's the culmination of the plan of salvation, we can't say, well, that's nice, but now let's go back and do the Exodus and Leviticus stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
after all, that's God's word too.
Right.
But that was pointing to him.
Right.
And this is the center.
Right. I mean, we have to know about.
Oh, absolutely.
Where all this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
we see the fulfillment of it in the
right.
new.
Right.
In the new covenant, which Jesus ratified in his own blood.
Right. And if you go to our website under Bible studies, you'll see a 33-part study of the Torah. You don't get to hear her voice, but you get to see my notes. But it's very important because these things are types and they're prefigurements.
Right.
They weren't there for their own, they don't stand on their own mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
And this is why, too, you know, we're not doing Romans now, although, but you know, when Paul talks about in Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's about Israel and
mm-hmm.
how frustrated he is
yeah.
that of all the people that should have understood Messiah, it should have been them
yeah.
because they had the covenants, they had
yes.
the law, they had the prophets, they had God's presence in the temple. They had all the things,
mm-hmm.
and for the most part, they missed it.
You know, when Jesus talks about, is it Nineveh, where the queen went to go and see
yes.
Solomon because
uh-huh.
because she wanted to hear his wisdom, and he says, "And there is something greater before you than Solomon here," meaning
That's
himself.
Right. Sure.
And what was the other one? There's the other one that he talks about they will judge.
They'll judge. Yeah, the queen of the south, the people in Nineveh
right.
will be at our judgment.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they did this, but he's telling the generation that he's speaking to.
Right.
They did this.
Yes.
You're not doing this.
Right.
And you have something. You have the Messiah
well,
in front
yes,
of
right.
you.
You have way greater than the prophet.
You have the fulfillment
yeah.
of.
Exactly.
And you don't recognize it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good point. Speaking of Romans,
are there any Romans here?
No.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Some of my ancestors probably
okay.
were. But I think the Book of Romans is like my favorite book. Oh, no, we already went through that.
I thought you said Hebrews.
No, I know. Oh, geez, I can't
you're
decide.
Contradicting yourself now.
Maybe it's Galatians. No, I can't. But anyway.
Stop it.
Maybe it's Zephaniah. I like that one, too. But anyway.
Isn't he a minor prophet?
Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And this is not something to make jokes about. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and read verse 4.
In the same way, my brothers, you also were put to death to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to another, to the one who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God.
Mm. So we're not under the law now. We've been delivered from the power of the law. Because, you know, the law condemns us. The law doesn't have a remedy. The law shows us what sin we're committed, that we've committed, and shows us that there's judgment against us.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've been talking, this sentence that's due from the law is vacated now because it's nailed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So sin was condemned in his own flesh and by his own blood. And remember, we talked about he had the appearance of sinful flesh.
Right.
And so sin was condemned in his flesh because mm-hmm. he was a blameless, innocent, unblemished victim.
Right.
So sin was condemned in his flesh and through his blood. And in that section there that Stephen just read from, he talks about marriage. And this, he says, like, what, when you're married to someone, you're married to them until one of you dies. So if your spouse dies, you're free to marry another.
Mm-hmm.
While your spouse is alive, you're not free to marry another. So he uses that to, he compares that to the covenants. When you're in the law, you can't have Christ. But when you're dead to the law through him, now that covenant is gone for you, and now you can be joined to another.
Mm.
And then you can bear fruit. Because now, instead of, and this is one of the reasons there's so many marital, I don't know what the right word is, examples that there are in all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the church is the bride of Christ.
Right.
You know, there's so many things about the bridegroom coming and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, and you really get this a very powerful way if you study the Song of Songs. But now, because we go out of the covenant of law, in other words, that's dead to us now mm-hmm. in the sense of the ceremonial Jewish law.
Right.
Now we can be married to another. And now we can become the bride of Christ. And now we can really bear fruit.
Yeah. Wow. Excellent. Excellent point.
Yeah. And that verse I was talking about before is in Romans 8:3, which is, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law wasn't wrong. The flesh was weak.
Exactly.
Yes. The law, you know, as he puts it back in chapter, I think, 2, the law's not evil. The law's not some dirty trick from God to say, ha, 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 let's see if they can do this. The law is weak because of the flesh. So he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did
mm-hmm.
by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled.
Wow.
So the requirement of the law fulfilled, the wrath that's due but because of the transgression of the law, because of the breaking of the law, is now on him. That's nailed to the cross through his flesh.
Mm.
And because of his blood, that goes from us onto him. The law can't do that. The law can't do that. So now the requirements of the law, the righteous requirements, the justification is now through him. So that's really good news.
It's really, really,
really good news.
Really good news.
That's wow. making me feel pretty good.
you know, and St. Paul says, you know, there's no condemnation for those who are in
yes,
Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
No condemnation
that's
at all.
That's right. The law couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because the law can't justify you. It can't sanctify you. It doesn't take guilt away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take you, it doesn't take the power of sin away from you.
See, and I think this is where people get a little confused as well. If it can't do anything, any of these things, then why should I observe it? Why should I keep it? Why should I keep God's laws?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that it's a paradox. Mm-hmm. If you love someone, you don't want to offend them.
Right. Exactly.
If you love your wife, anybody who's married, if you love your husband, you know, you don't want to go out and purposely hurt them. Right. Your relationship's not going to last that long.
Right.
But if you love them, you're going to pour out your life for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a covenant.
Yes.
You know, it's a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship in that you give your life to each other. Mm-hmm. And in this marriage of the Lamb, this wedding feast of the Lamb and the bride of Christ, Christ gives his life for us. Mm-hmm. And what one does in a covenant, the other one is obliged to do. Mm-hmm. The other one will do.
Right.
Out of love. So that's we, out of love, give our lives to Christ.
Yeah.
And Paul, you know, St. Paul says this so beautifully in all of his letters. I live my life for Christ because I'm a slave for Christ, because he ransomed me.
Yeah.
With his own blood.
Yes.
So the life that I live now is not my own, mm-hmm. but it's a life in God. Yes. It's a life in Jesus Christ.
And that whole thing about ransom and being bought with a price, you know, the Greek word means it's the price you paid for a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So you bought, you know, we were bought and then made free.
Because a slave in their day,
mm-hmm.
once you were a slave, you were a slave.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right.
There was no way of you getting out of that.
Yes. That's right. But he purchased us. In other words, we were redeemed because he purchased us with his own blood,
right,
to set us free.
Just as we were dead in our own transgressions, yes, there was no way out of that.
Right. And we were slaves to sin, mm-hmm. and we were purchased out of that.
Right.
The law couldn't do that. The law doesn't, you know, the law doesn't have a promise of grace.
Right.
It doesn't have a promise of, you know, unmerited favor, because you have to merit the favor.
Mm-hmm.
You have to earn the favor.
Right.
And this is why when Paul really gets this, he talks so much about nobody can boast.
Right.
Because we don't have anything to boast about.
No.
We don't have anything to boast about.
So I can't say I know more about scripture than you.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And if, you know, if we could keep the law perfectly, then we'd be righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And God would have to say, well, I have to save him. I have to bring him to heaven. I'm obliged to do it because he did everything he was supposed to do.
Boy, that Phil, look at how he's just,
You know, I don't know anybody he could say that about.
No, he can't.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know anybody he could say that about.
And we can't say that. And, you know, Paul says there is no boasting.
That's right. Because, you know, as we were talking about from Hebrews in chapter 10:4, it says the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin.
Right.
Because these were prefigurements. These were mm-hmm. types. His blood can't take away sin. Animal blood, you know, it was there to show a sign.
Mm.
It doesn't have power of its own.
Right.
But his blood has infinite, total power.
Yeah.
So it isn't, there isn't something that can't be pardoned if someone repents.
Well, you know, you mentioned something a few shows ago that when Adam and Eve sinned, something had to die so that they could mm-hmm. be covered.
Yes.
And if you think about this, that animal that is sacrificed, that animal isn't giving its life out of love for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It isn't laying down its life for you because it wants to take away your sin.
Yeah.
It's being slaughtered because mm-hmm. there is sin mm-hmm. and there has to be an atonement for it.
Yes.
But the blood of Messiah, his life is laid down in love. He gives his life willingly.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Right.
And that's the ultimate difference.
And you have to keep in mind that these were horrible things. This mm-hmm. was bloody. This was a horrible, violent thing done to an innocent animal.
The temple was a messy place.
Yes. Just like you saw in the Passion of the Christ. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. It's brutal stuff.
Right.
And that this is because sin is so terrible. Wow, it's a second break already.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can find all kinds of stuff. Find all kinds of stuff there. We'll be back in just a minute.
And I hear the Savior sing, and thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, what to pray? Find in me thine all in all. As Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, that was awesome.
That's a good
song.
Well,
that really summarizes what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's an old song.
Gosh, that, White as Snow, yeah.
I heard a contemporary group doing it.
And you know, we're freed from that.
Yeah.
We're freed from sin and death because of this. Freed by this guilt and the power of sin. You know, he took on himself even our guilt.
Yeah.
You know, many of us can forgive other people more easily than we forgive ourselves because we feel guilty about something. You know, you say, oh, 25 years ago I did this, and oh, I still feel horrible about it.
It's the biggest obstacle.
Yeah.
If you're in a healing ministry and you pray with people,
yeah.
The biggest obstacle for someone to receiving God's forgiveness and healing is themselves.
Yes. And he can, you know, this whole point in this passage of Romans is that Christ came to do what the law couldn't do. The law couldn't give you intimate relationship with God. The law had separation between the holy things and you because you weren't holy. So you were separated from the holy things.
Right.
Now the barrier is gone. We can approach the throne boldly. We have intimate relationship. And Paul goes on in Romans chapter 8 to talk about how the Spirit tells our spirit that now we're adopted children and we're heirs, you know, we're co-heirs with Christ so that we're going to be glorified together. I mean, this is not things that can be earned from the law. This is an unbelievable grace, mercy, and love that makes you an adopted child so that you go from being a slave to sin and even a slave to law to being at the table, to being at the marriage supper of the Lamb, to sitting around at the Father's table, not because you did everything perfectly, but because your condemnation was nailed to the cross. This is not, you can't do this from the law. This is a totally different relationship than there is under the law.
Yeah. You know, this is in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I believe it's in 1 Peter where he says, you know, you must proclaim what God has done for you because he has called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light.
Mm.
And in 2 Peter, he says, his divine power has bestowed on us everything that makes for life and devotion through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and power. Through these, he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises so that through them, you may come to share in the divine nature after escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires.
Mm.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with devotion, devotion with mutual affection with love. If these are yours and increase in abundance, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Wow.
Whoa,
you know, it goes along with what St. Paul talks about in Galatians, mm-hmm. you know, the fruits of the Spirit.
That's right.
Love, joy, mm-hmm. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that as we surrender to God,
mm-hmm.
we become a servant of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Greek word doulos is used a lot by Paul, which means a bond servant.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, with Paul, this was an amazing transition because he went from an intellectual, smart guy who knows everything to now he says, I'm just a servant. I'm just a bond servant.
Yeah.
And, you know, his relationship had totally changed.
A slave for Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's not a slave in the sense of you're under some oppression.
Right.
You're being whipped to do something.
Right.
It's like, hey, he did this for me.
Right.
I'll do whatever he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think anybody that's been, you know, baptized in the Spirit, has given their life to the Lord, you come to that place of, if you're really seeking God and seeking his will,
mm-hmm.
you have to come to that place of surrender because, like I think I shared this last week about the two wills. You know, I got this, I was talking to a priest and he got this vision of two big wheels grinding against each other, just, you know, really engaged in this grinding against each other and going in different directions. And he goes, that's God's will against your will. You know, you're fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I was a believer at that time. I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I gave my life to the Lord, but I was still holding on to doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to let go of it.
Yeah. But, you know, when Paul explains this about grace, when Paul explains this in relationship to law and how Christ was the fulfillment of the law, and I mean, there's so many things and we can't cover every possible scripture verse that has to do with this. But, you know, through Corinthians, he talks about how he only wants to know Christ and Christ crucified. Yeah. He only wants to preach Christ and Christ crucified. He doesn't want to baptize people. He just wants to preach the cross and he doesn't want to doesn't want to diminish the power of the cross, doesn't want attention to be on him. I mean, there's so much stuff, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's in verse 8, he says, you're going to be confirmed to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God who is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in other words, this is a promise. If you repent and you follow and you come, you accept him as your Lord and you become a doulos, a bondservant, you're going to be blameless on the day that he comes.
Mm.
Now, are you going to have stuff that you've done that you need to be blamed for? Yes. But he says you're going to be blameless.
Yeah.
Just like the crimson stain is going to be washed white as snow.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be blameless.
Yeah.
Even though he could list to you, here's all the stuff you've done over the last 50 or 60 or 70 or 90 years, however long you live. But now you're blameless because this is a promise. And he, you know, his promises are always sure. So when you have fellowship with the Son, you're blameless in this sight. The law doesn't do that.
Right. I mean, God's forever faithful.
Yes.
You know, even if we deny him, he won't deny us because if we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are unfaithful, he still remains faithful to us because he can't deny himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's an excellent point. And again, we probably don't say this as much as we should, and we really need to add this. If this is the first time you're hearing this kind of talk, and you think, I don't have any idea what these guys are talking about, these are things you got to think about.
Right.
And you got to read these scriptures, and, you know, we'll put this show up on the website. You can go listen to it again.
It's the most important message. It's the most important message that you're ever going to hear in your life.
Yes. I'll just quickly say, I heard a teaching a few days ago that I read on a Christian website, and it was so interesting because the guy who did the teaching was talking about how if a disease breaks out in a certain place, mm-hmm. and it's transmitted through the whole world and everybody in the world is sick, everybody in the world would be in a panic. Everything would be going crazy, insane, and it would be all over the news. And everybody, but yet you have everybody in the world affected by the deadly disease of sin.
Yeah.
We have the antidote for it. We have the medicine for it. Mm-hmm. We have the cure, but nobody worries about it. Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty interesting.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah. And what people without Christ have is much worse than any physical disease you can have. Mm-hmm. And so this is why we're doing this series about the cross, and we only have a couple of minutes left. So, you know, rather than going into some more scriptures, I think this is important to talk about because if you've not heard this, you have to consider it.
Yeah.
Well, we have less than a couple of minutes left. The music way less. Is already here. Oh, wow. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And if you are just coming to the Lord, go to the cross and ask for forgiveness. You'll be washed clean in the blood of Messiah. God bless. Have an awesome week, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.